Hello and thank you for listening to NYPD Blue Balls. This is a commentary episode of Season 6, Episode 22, Safe Home. But before it even begins, I have to apologize. If you listen with us, it's going to be hard to keep track of what's going on when, because during the episode, at absolutely random points, Kyle on the phone call, all of his audio just turned into loud cracking. So instead of just cutting it out to keep time, I tried to put in previously on NYPD Blue sound bites, and then tried to put in little breaks like I do when someone said something too personal or too messed up, if you will, for public consumption. So I apologize. Hopefully you can get through it. Hopefully we can get through it together. And thank you again for listening. This is the end of Season 6. Hope you stay with us into Season 7 and all the way to Season 12, NYPD Blue. Anyway, see you at the end. One, two, three, hit play. Hello and welcome to NYPD Blue Balls. We're doing Season 6, Episode 22, Safe Home. And it's the last episode of Season 6. To catch you up, Sylvia died. So Sipowicz is making
oatmeal.
Making oatmeal with Theo. He's
Do you remember a time before oatmeal was like in bags for like quick and easy make?
No. I do not.
I remember when like the first time our parents brought home like oatmeal individually in like a bag.
Uh-huh.
And like the talk about how like this was a game changer for breakfast. Because it's just like it's easy to go, you don't have to measure it, you just throw it in a cup. Now they even make it the oatmeal in the individual bags where the bag is like a strong enough like cardboardy material that they tell you like you pour the bag into a bowl and then you fill the bag up with water and dump that in there and that's it.
Yeah.
So you don't even have to like use any measuring cups anymore. I just remember like it being like a big deal in our like in the household, and then no one fucking wanted to eat oatmeal because it's gross.
Well,
does that matter how much apple cinnamon you put in that shit? It's still thick, gross oatmeal.
It's just thick, gross. Oh, man.
Anyways, Sipowicz is having, like, weird moments with his kid at the fish tank.
Well, he's getting his kid ready for school. He's getting Theo ready for school, saying goodbye to the fish.
Yeah, Kirk, but you can see in his mannerisms, the way he's looking at him, the way he's acting, Sipowicz is about to kill himself.
He also, it doesn't help that the kid's like, where's mommy?
Yeah.
And then Sipowicz says, she's visiting.
I know Sipowicz is going through something, but what that kid is wearing is atrocious.
Are you fashion policing the child?
It's all one color blue, dude.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm sorry.
Be an accent color.
I'm sorry. So he's matching, is what you're saying? So he's matching.
No, put a little accent underneath there, like.
Sorry, I didn't realize you were such a fashionista, especially
does
with children.
Does this kid work for sanitation? What's up? Like,
does this kid work for sanitation?
Does he work for the state plumbing team or what? Like, goddamn, dude.
We're at the credits. We're not matching the tone of this episode at all.
not at all. We're dealing with death here. And, like, feelings.
But this is NYPD Blue Balls, where I, Kirk, and the other voice, Kyle, talk about every single episode of the best show ever, NYPD Blue. And, yeah, this episode's sad.
How else would you like us to take... How else... I'll just use me. How else would you like me to take death when I found out that the only grandfather that I know to be alive, like... I was told of his death just, like, offhand, like, 2 weeks after he died. So, like...
Oh, my God.
Like, how should we take death? You know what I mean?
Well, with a little bit of cheer.
I was told sitting in a putt with...
Previously on NYPD Blue.
Like, grandfather died. How do you want me to? How do you think I should take out that?
So the episode begins, Kyle, with Danny basically reporting to Fancy that he's just following his partner to make sure he's okay, which highlights the fact that they're not doing any work.
So ultimately, their best detective is basically on a leave of absence, right?
Yes.
Their second best detective is following said detective around to make sure he doesn't kill himself.
Well, you're being very generous saying he's the second best.
Who's the second best?
I mean, I didn't think you'd put me on the spot asking me that question. I thought you'd, but I didn't think it'd be Danny. He just got there.
Who's second best?
I don't know, because I don't want to say Metavoy. Exactly. You'll fucking piss. Nope. You'll get super pissed off.
I won't get pissed off. It's just not true.
Fancy's technically the second best. He's just the boss. It is literally a meeting of them going like, okay, but do you think he's drinking? No. He's like, have you talked to him? He's like, he told me not to talk to him. He's like, okay, keep watching him then. Like, so just don't do any work. Like that's pretty much. Oh man.
Yeah, pretty much.
It works. It works for the show because it's a television show. But I'll be honest with you. I'd be pretty upset if my tax dollars were paying cops to just look after other cops.
Okay. Your tax dollars are going to much worse than that when it comes to the police force.
Yeah, that's true. Because they got some pretty sweet tanks. It's pretty great that, like, the second Russell comes in, she's like, okay, so what's going on with Andy? And they're all like, they just hash out what Andy is doing, right?
Yeah.
Everybody in the entire station is only worried about Andy. The only thing that stops them from doing that is, like, they got a break in the case.
Yeah.
Like, if they didn't have a case come in, everybody would just be sitting there talking about Andy.
Well, no murders happened.
Yeah, murders never happen.
All of the bad guys heard that Andy was going through something, so they were like, okay, we'll take a couple days off, we'll give him a min,
the homicide newsletter went out, and everyone's like, hey, for the next couple days, you know, Sipowicz is on leave, bereavement, so don't be murdering.
The forums blew up, yeah.
Don't be murdering.
Let's give him some time. Let's be cool.
Also, I wanted to highlight that Danny just said they're there in, like, the most disingenuous way a person has ever said they're there. And it's upsetting.
Is he at church?
No, he's at his house.
Oh, that's right. Excuse me. He just sits on his couch and waits to pick up Theo.
He's white-knuckling life so that he doesn't go drink. It's pretty clear that that's his like thing.
That's what's happening. Yeah.
Because when I was watching it, I was like, so what? Because everybody is concerned for Andy, and Andy is literally pushing everybody away. So I'm like, what is happening with Andy? And that's Deborah Monk, who plays his ex-wife, Katie, who was in...
Do we think she showed up on her own, or do you think someone called them Fancy, or someone called her to go talk to him?
Oh, I think she showed up on her own. For sure. And he says, she says, I just brought you some food. He's like, I didn't eat the other food you brought me. Why do you keep making me food?
She's been coming for a while.
And then... I think the reason he gets upset, because I've been trying to like figure out like why is he acting like this, and I think his pride is so thin that he's like, I can take care of the house, I don't need help to do this, and he says like I have to pick him up at 1 and the clock is 10:15. So it's
yeah, that's true. I never looked. No, I never noticed at the time. That's crazy.
He's cracking because he doesn't want people to think he can't do it on his own. But he knows that if he leaves the house, he's gonna drink. So he's like, I gotta stay here.
Well, I think it's two things. I think it's one, he's really nervous that he's gonna drink. You're right. And then the other thing is like, he just lost Sylvia. So he's like, I can't let this kid out of my sight.
Yeah.
This kid can't go out of my sight. I have to see this. This kid has to know. I have to know where this kid is at all times. I'm going to be there as soon as the doors open and he walks out because nothing bad is going to happen to this kid. / I'm going to use this as an excuse not to drink.
Yeah.
Which is never good.
Well, yeah, it's also like, because Sipowicz has never been good at communicating what's happening, right?
Nah, what?
So he's like, I'm grieving, but I can't let anybody know that I'm grieving, and I can't let anybody think that they need to help me. So I'm just going to be an asshole to everybody and tell them to leave me alone. Steve Young comes back. We remember him from many episodes ago as a gambling dude. And then Russell and... what's his name? Danny talk about how John's getting out of the hospital and Jill might bring him around the station. And then they go back to talking about Andy.
Yeah, this whole episode is just them. You are right. Like, it's a little repetitive.
It's very repetitive. It's, oh my gosh, is Andy going to be okay? The episode.
Yeah. Like,
this episode could have just been called, Is Andy Going to Be Okay?
Yeah. And then this is a weird interaction for me, Coach. She makes the comment where she goes, you know, when
Andy Jr. died,
Bobby knew what to do, and she looks at Danny and goes, I'm sorry.
That's also not true. When Andy Jr. died, he worked the case as Sipowicz started drinking again, and only when Sipowicz almost got himself killed did he just show up and say, do you want to keep doing this? And Sipowicz said no. Like, Bobby really didn't do anything.
No, he did. He had that conversation with him. No, dude. No, fuck you. He had that conversation. There's that conversation. There's that brilliant conversation where...
I gotta fuck you from Kyle.
I don't know the exact line, but he says something to him. He's like, stop pushing away the only people that are trying to help you then. Like,
yeah, that was after
he gets in his face and shit because Andy's not accepting help because he's like, he can't deal with the grief of his son. And Bobby had to be like big brother to him and tell him like, hey, stop being a doofus. Like, let us help you. Like, you're obviously not helping yourself. Bam. Bobby knew what to say. Go fuck yourself, dude. I can't believe the slander coming out of your mouth today.
The slander coming out of my mouth.
Are you going to spit on everyone's grave after they're gone, or what?
Jimmy Smith is still alive.
It's been one episode. Are you going to call Sylvia a whore before this is over?
Steve Young is explaining that Cullinan used his sister, Steve Young's sister, to take care of Steve's gambling debts to murder Kenny Priest at the courthouse, but Jimmy Mayo tried to kill Cullinan before he had a chance to do anything. Which isn't true because he ran out.
If you go back and watch that episode, sorry to step on you.
Yeah.
If you go back and watch that episode, he is sitting in the courthouse on a bench shaking nervously.
Yeah, and honestly, he runs out of there before Jimmy even shows up, so it's like, he wasn't gonna do it.
He kind of even says that.
But they get pissed off at him when he's like, well, God intervened. And then they're like, oh, so they killed Sylvia, but they kept you alive? Like, just pissy.
Because that's what he meant by that when he said God intervened.
And so now they're like, well, we gotta...
That right there should show you that the idea of, like, a God is...
Previously on NYPD Blue.
Because
Good word usage.
Because to Steve Young, that situation that happened where a woman died was a moment where God spoke to him and helped him. And where it's like to Sylvia, is that a moment God spoke to her? Well, kind of. He called her home.
Previously on NYPD Blue.
What the hell is happening? Kyle?
I can hear you. You just sound like a scrambled, like you're in the movie Ransom.
No, that happened on your end, too. I think something happened with our connection, but...
Like you were Gary Sinise.
Give
me back my son! Sorry.
This, I'm going to have to cut it out anyway because it was way too loud and it destroyed the microphone. But here, Medavoy runs everything for Fancy and he's like, yeah, it'd just be nice to give some solace to Andy. And it's like, Andy probably won't give a shit right now. Like.
Yeah, that's not going to.
Andy's like, not going to be cool with that. All right, so I wanted to say something about this woman, but if you have anything.
Okay, go ahead. Say, who is this woman?
So, I did not know... I didn't recognize this woman in anything. But okay. I was very curious from her performance, because it was, like, straightforward and kind of like a sex-positive, like, I fuck who I want to fuck and I don't give a shit. My brother's a dummy that started watching religious shows and now is dropping the dime on everybody. And I was like, I don't know why. I want to check out this woman. Her name's Tracy Dillon. Who plays Lorelaine Young. She was in an episode of NYPD Blue before this. She was in the episode You're Under a Rasta.
Okay.
She played a extra in an episode of iCarly. And then she was a actress in a 90s exploitation film called A Gun for Jennifer, of which the tagline was, dead men don't rape. And if you want to have yourself a fun laugh, the entire movie, A Gun for Jennifer, is on YouTube for free. So just throwing that out there, that I went down a rabbit hole with Tracy Dillon from this scene.
Never going to watch it, but I appreciate the work.
There's also another person who is in a very terrible movie who has a guest starring role in this episode. We'll get to her in a bit. And I'm not talking about Deborah Monk in The Devil's Advocate.
Oh, that's right. She was his mom.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
No.
She wasn't his mom. She was like another lawyer, I think.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
But what's funny about this scene is Lorelaine comes in and is like, on NYPD Blue. Lorelaine comes in and is like, yeah, not only did, I work out the paying off my brother's debts to kill Kenny Priest, I also helped kill Mike Roberts.
Oh yeah.
And they were like, what?
It all just comes like this fucking, this case just ends. The ending to this case comes to them all wrapped up in a bow and shit.
Oh yeah, 100%. It's gift wrapped. But what I also love is how they go up to Fancy and like, how would you like this case to get solved? How would you like to have Cullen murdered by the Neil? How would you like to watch him die? And then Fancy's like, yeah, I would.
Can I tell you one thing I hate as a manager? or as a boss or in charge of anything, when someone comes to me and goes, hey, you know that thing, you know this thing that you asked me to do, how would you like if I got it done? Hey, you know this dude that dude where this whole situation happened, where like our best detective and like most lovable like father figure almost, wife died and he's like in a depression. And, like, the least we could do is maybe solve this for him so he has some closure. You want me to do that for you? Got it. It's your fucking job, bro. Like, just say, like, hey, this is what we... I hate that shit.
Here we got Cullinan coming in with his lawyer, and Sinclair's out on a yacht in France or something. And they basically tell Cullinan, by the way, we're bringing you to the grand jury tomorrow on some new shit. And they won't tell him what it is because they have to speak with him and counsel. And,
yeah, and Sinclair's his counsel, not the bald dude.
Well, I don't even think I think this bald dude could sit in, but he just doesn't want to do it without Sinclair's permission.
Previously on NYPD Blue.
I think that's the thing. He doesn't want to do it without Sinclair's yes. Are you there, by the way?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh shit! It went way low.
Uh-oh, you better lay low.
Okay, now it came back. We got some gremlins in the machine today.
We got some mogwais?
We got some mogwais. But we fed them after midnight, and now they're gremlins. Come on, get the lore together, Kyle!
I think we talked about it before. I can tell you a fucking thing about the gremlins.
Such a good couple movies. But, Cullinan scampers off, and they basically mention that they just tricked him to try to get him to fire his lawyers, which, a little underhanded.
And not the most ethical thing in the world either, right? Like,
I mean,
I don't know. What do I know?
Speaking of ethics, there's another thing that happens that I'm like, that's this woman right here. Mrs. Zipkiss, because her photo on IMDb looked familiar, she was in the film Girl in Gold Boots that was done on Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Oh, I remember that one.
So this woman was in a movie so bad, Mystery Science Theater 3000 commented over it.
Which, yeah, you know, they deemed her acting good enough to put an NYPD Blue, the hottest show at the time.
Well, I mean, it was just for this scene.
Previously on NYPD Blue.
So is it weird, I mean, I don't know, is it weird that we have never, or these characters have never met the son of Sipowicz and Danny? Hasn't it been like a whole year?
Yeah, he's at least been there. He's at least been there 6-7 months. Because if one season's a full year, and let's say Bobby died like what, episode 5 or 6?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was episode 5. So that's at least what, like a month and a half, 2 months.
Yeah.
He's at least known Andy for a while.
Previously on NYPD Blue.
It's kind of stupid. Like what? And this scene is also. Like, this is the scene where I go, this is a pretty big ethical question. Theo is showing him the fish, and then Sipowicz is like, eventually will ask, like, okay, what's the deal? And Danny basically says to him, we got one shot to talk to this guy, you're the only guy that could do it. If that's the case, why are the other people even in that fucking office? Like, none of them could talk to Cullinan. Like, none of them.
Not the way he can. I get it. Everyone's got different skills, right? Like, mm-hmm. like you can bring Medavoy in for some things that you can't really bring Andy in for sometimes, you know? Like, sometimes you don't always need Andy. You don't need somebody to be, like, who pounds and shit. Well, there are some times where you just need, like, the best.
Previously on NYPD Blue.
Yeah. Like, if you sit Andy down and say, look, you got one shot with this guy, Andy's not going to get nervous.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be like an oh fuck situation in the sense that, like.
Previously on NYPD Blue. Previously on NYPD Blue.
Like, all right, how do I get to this guy? Like, I got to be very careful in how I choose.
Here's another one of those times that Kyle's audio just kind of turned into a whole bunch of nonsense. I apologize. Here we are discussing it, and we try to fix it, I think, right after this.
Basically, half of that explanation was filled with random spikes in complete nonsense and static. So whatever you just said, which I'm sure was a great point, and I understood it, that different detectives had different skills, and you would use Andy for this, but maybe not use him for something else. It'll only be half heard, thanks to the wonderful technology we're using today.
Yeah, but if you what I was saying was, if you sat Andy down and said, "Hey, this is your one chance to talk to him," Andy wouldn't freak out and mess it up. Andy would be able to, like, slowly work it out and get it taken care of. But if you did the same thing to Metavoy, Metavoy would automatically, like, start shitting himself, and he wouldn't be able to do it. Like, he'd mess up, or he'd fumble, or the one slightest U-turn in it, he'd freak out and wouldn't be able to do it. Whereas Andy can keep it, do it the whole time. That's why Andy's there.
And right now, we're at the scene with John and Kirkendall talking about how John is not responsible for Jimmy Mayo shooting people and whatnot. But what's weird is, after watching it, I was like, I think this is actually the point of the episode, which basically people grieve in different ways, and the question is your grief going to hurt other people? And I thought, well, maybe even Sipowicz is like, look, like, my grief is not going to help anybody right now, and it's only going to lead me to drink, so I'm just going to stay away. And I think that was kind of his whole point, and everyone is like, well, we're here for you. He's like, I understand that. Just got to stay away.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is where they basically tell him he has to fire his...
Previously on NYPD Blue.
God damn it. What the fuck?
Don't tell me what I can't do.
Yeah, this dude's being a real asshole about it, and...
They keep talking about James Sinclair banging some bimbo. I love that his fingers were out like that.
Well, yeah, he supposedly got hit in the finger, and he...
That pinky finger makes me think of when Jeff Winger went to pottery class with the thing on his finger. That's what it looked like. That's how fake it looked.
He's like, what, so you're good at pottery so you can check my finger? He's like, no, but my medical degree does, because I'm also a doctor. He's like, and the good news is, this isn't broken at all, you're just fine. Fuck, Community's so good.
Jeff Winger.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, man. Anyways, so... Schroeder's giving him the heads up of what's happening on the way up to the...
So, we had another loud static crackling, and I got frustrated. I stopped the episode, I stopped the podcast, I hung up the phone with Kyle, and restarted the episode to hopefully have an end to the distractions. So if you're listening commentary style, pause it right now, make sure you're at 2721 or -1643 in the episode. But if you're not listening commentary style, then just listen, because it's about to start, like, right now.
Alright, so yeah, he's taking him upstairs and is basically like, just go into the pokey room, I'll make sure nobody sees you. And even when Sipowicz gets to the pokey room, he's like, there's no one in here. which is funny.
He looks like he's about to have a panic attack. It's funny.
Which he could very well be, who knows.
Yeah, that's true. Let's not belittle that man's...
And also, like, Cullinan is so funny, because he's like, they're like, give us a second, and he's like, why? This sucks. And it's like, dude, what the fuck, man? Like, you're an adult. Be an adult for half a second.
You're making me wait.
And then he can't see that all of them are having a meeting over here. And
then that's the best part, is like, he's just oblivious.
And Danny brings everybody over basically to say, I don't want to steal this from you because you guys got the info. And they're just like, nah, you can take it. And then it is pretty funny that he gets to walk in and the first thing he sees in the room is Sipowicz. And he even gives a look like, I gotta talk to this guy? I'm partially responsible for his wife being murdered.
Yeah, do you think there's a reason when he sits down there's a, like a spotlight on his face?
Yes. It's to basically make it seem like now the lights are on him and he has to account for what he fucking did.
Yeah, what was going on. Yeah, I can see that.
It's also funny because Sipowicz really doesn't do much in this interrogation, but just enough to push this dude over.
Yeah, you're right. For Danny making such a huge deal and being like, I need you to be there, we need you to be there, only you can do this, Sipowicz really doesn't do anything.
And Sipowicz doesn't know any of the information that Danny's hitting him with. Oh, wait, he knows some of it.
Unless he briefed him in the car.
Yeah, I guess so. But it's pretty great that when he finally speaks, he's just like, what are you doing here? He's like, I mean, he gives a pretty decent speech about you keep doing bad shit, but you're still here trying to get over it and try to talk to us. He's like, don't you see that that's you trying to be trying to do something right? And he's just like, why don't you just stop, dude? Could you just cut it out?
I like the line when he says the little part of you that evil hasn't eaten yet, or hasn't been eaten by evil yet, can do the right thing.
Yeah, I also love how Danny brings out the, like, it's not even going to be a bad prison sentence if you admit to that, and he's like, that's implicating me and more, and then Sipowicz is like, yeah, then you get to stop doing this shit. Like, that's your reward. Stop being an asshole.
The guy playing Colin in does a good job, like, having a breakdown.
Yeah.
Sipowicz just drops the hammer and leaves, dude.
Yeah, he does the equivalent of dropping the mic and leaving the stage.
Yeah.
There's also moments, just the cinematography and the shots of him, that's like, damn, he should have been the Penguin. He would have been a kick-ass Penguin in a Batman movie or a TV show.
Yeah, he would have been great.
But yeah, it's... And especially with this scene, where, like, well, this and a future scene with Sipowicz, it's like, I don't have anything against you guys. I just have to go home. Like, I can't be here right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I just can't be. I bet you, like, being in the fucking squad reminds him of Sylvia.
It's one of the many, many reasons that all of these relationships shouldn't be happening.
Yeah, they should all be separate.
You shouldn't be screwing all the people in the place where you work.
There are rules for these things.
He gives him a little callback to keep a good, clean tank, and you do a good job in there, and here it's where, like, this scene kind of made me sad until you realize, like, oh, he just didn't want to address it. But when he just, like, swerves on John, where he doesn't say anything, and walks out, and you're like, well, that's kind of fucked up.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, what did you want him to say?
Well, I mean, not to... I doubt anyone who listens to this is watching this for the first time, but he doesn't... He does come back, Sipowicz, to talk to John. But, like, the fact that of all the people that could use an encouraging word or any words from Sipowicz, it would be John. Because him and John shared the moment, like, before the real shit happened.
Yeah.
Where he was like, John, what's wrong? And he's like, Jimmy Mayo has a gun. Stop him. And then the whole shit happened. So, I don't know. It's something where you wish he said anything, and then it implies that maybe John will be leaving too, which, if you're me, you're like, fuck no, we can't lose Jimmy Smits, we can't lose ADA Acosta, and we can't lose John Irving in the same season.
Yeah, but he needed,
But then Sipowicz comes back and says what John really needs to hear. I wasn't angry, and I got no hard feelings. And you also said, is the guy who plays John, Bill Brochip? I can't say his name.
Yeah.
Brochip. Is he a good actor? And if I'm using the same metric that I put Emil Hirsch on, he doesn't actually cry here.
Yeah, he doesn't. He doesn't. No tears come out.
Even though this is a pretty big moment to have Sipowicz hug John. Because if there are any two people that you hope come out of this without any real harsh feelings, it'd be between them two. And he's like, we'll hug it out, and I gotta go home. Can't do it.
He stops crying so fast, to your point. Like,
yeah.
What does he wipe it away?
Nothing.
Nothing, dude.
He just wanted to shake some hands and get some cheek kisses. Now, the end of this episode is real wonky, because it cuts to a bunch of different people really fast. First, is Sipowicz talking with his ex-wife, Katie. And it's weird, because now it's this, like, Frankenstein family of his ex-wife, his current son, implying that he will not be his son at some point. his young son with a different woman, and his ex-wife.
Is there some weird foreshadowing we don't know about? Like, Jesus, good.
I could say that about Andy Jr., because eventually he will expire. But this one...
eventually we all expire, but...
It's true. But this shows, like, a moment of levity, like, where it's like, oh, we can have fun. She also mentions that he had a good poop. Are you rating your children's poops? Is that something people do? Where they're like, oh, he had a good poop?
I don't know. I feel like that's a thing where it's like, if their poop is off, like, maybe they're sick or something.
Yeah, that's a good
point. You know, because when kids are young, they can't...
articulate.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, thank you. They can't always articulate, like, their feeling or what's going on and blah, blah, blah. So maybe they're just, like... maybe that's why parents have to check their shit, because it's just like, oh, your shit's, like, red today. Are you bleeding inside? What's going on? You know?
It's like children and dogs. If you notice the shit's weird, you take them to the vet or the doctor. Yeah,
is your kid hiding under the couch, staying away from everybody?
Have you noticed that your kid's tail is always down?
Is your kid's nose dry and warm?
Oh, God.
Welcome to the doctor.
Once again, not matching the tone of this episode, but there's a lot of, like...
But what is this episode? This episode is Let's All Feel Bad for Andy.
Yeah, is Andy okay? Off,
and I know that's coming off, like, really, like, insensitive, but it's like, we just gave Andy 50 minutes of grief.
And in TV time, that's ages.
But all now, of this seems like it happened within, what, one day?
It's true. Well, it's been a week since the... Because these episodes aired, like, weekly. So it would feel like it's been a week since it happened. Unless this episode aired... this aired May 25th, 1999. And the other one was May 18th. So it was only a week.
Dude, they were, like... They didn't even give, like, a funeral for...
So nope. Then, no, sir.
They didn't show him dressed like in a nice suit going to a funeral. Nothing.
Also, they've talked about how he's mentioning that his wife is just visiting. Mommy's visiting. And
yeah.
And Katie was like, Katie, the ex-wife, was like, your son already knows. He just needs to hear you say it. And that's like fucking sad, but.
Yeah, that's rough.
Then there's this awkward-ass shit where she fills his paper clips and stays to talk to him, and then he's like, well, do you want to get dinner? And she's like, no, that's not a good idea. And then he's like, okay, well, you know, then fine. You know, I just get rejected and look like an ass. And I'm not going to make then out with you randomly.
Then why did you fill my paper clips?
Look, when a woman fills a man's paper clips, it means one thing.
No,
she's down to clown.
You know what I mean, like, I don't know, like, I was trying to think of, like, of another character who had, like, weird quirks, you know? But, like,
if she got Andy's fish food for Andy.
Yeah, like, or, like, the whole time Andy was gone, like, stayed late, or, like, did extra for the fish tank and shit. You know what I mean? Then it would be like, that would be like, what are you doing?
And then he puts one paperclip in instead of all of them. One paperclip in the pocket. That's some OCD shit for sure.
Yeah, I can't decipher the paperclip situation.
And then here we got Richard Gant as Dornan, who is, you know, we had a little bit of a arc with him this season, and now he's a bit of a drunk. And of course, Richard Gant, famously from Deadwood, The Big Lebowski, and Norbit. He does a good job of being a drunk guy.
He's a good actor, dude, just all around. Like,
he kills it. And it also implies that him and Fancy have been hanging out, despite the fact that he's not really getting any better.
Well, maybe Fancy's checking in on him, because, like, you know, there was that scene where him and Sipowicz make the calls and everything, so maybe part of Fancy's still checking in, making sure he's okay.
Yeah. And then Dornan, in the beginning of this scene, speaks positively about Sipowicz, kind of like, I hope he's doing all right, even though, you know, they had their issues and whatnot. And then it ends with Sipowicz praying over Theo's body here, which is also kind of weird.
Awkward.
I found it weird because Theo is clearly not asleep. You could see him moving as Sipowicz is praying. And they just kind of keep
Theo
it.
Theo was moving when Sipowicz was there, so to me that makes me go like, is Theo just laying there going like, what the fuck is going on, Dad?
Can you just say Mom died so we don't have to keep doing this?
Yeah, why are you doing this? This is weird.
Maybe I was too hard on him. He is just breathing. I thought, oh, his arm moved. Ah. You ain't asleep.
Lying bitch.
Lying bitch. Take away the Emmys. But that's it. That's the end of season six. Basically, it sucks to be Sipowitz.
It does suck to be Sipowitz, dude.
It's weird because I didn't go farther after this to see how they resolve all this, but it's like, I don't know how they deal with the fact that like Sipowitz just can't leave his own house right now.
Yeah, like, that's a huge issue. That's like, they're just kind of, and they're not helping the situation by, like, babying him either, you know what I mean?
It's weird because they kind of end it with, like, I'm cautiously optimistic about Andy. And it's like, okay, well, err on the caution, because it seems like he can't leave his own house. Which he's gonna have to do to provide for the child that he is taking care of.
Yeah, because he's gonna have to, like, get groceries and a job.
Yeah, he's gonna have to. I know. I mean, just because we've seen further into the seasons of NYPD Blue, eventually he works it out. But I mean, when you get to the end of this one, it's still a very big question mark. Like, well, then what the fuck are we gonna do? Are we just gonna bring him in to interrogate fuckers? Like, he's not gonna do anything and then show up and kill the interview room and then go right back home without talking to anybody?
He only comes in on a case by case basis.
He's like, let's work out my consultant fees.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be chilling at home. I'm a work from home detective.
Teleconferences in.
He's on the Zoom meeting. And since it's Sipowitz, like, he can't get it working ever. Because I went to the NYPD Blue IMDb. And the top rated episodes in order are Hearts and Souls, The Death of Bobby Simone, and A Death in the Family, The Death of Andy Jr. And this one, can it give me episodes just by rated? No, it can't. I don't think it can. But this episode, I think, is only rated like an 8.5, and those were rated 9.5 and 9.4. out of 10. So, 8.9. So it's up there, but that's just Safe Home. What is this? The one where Sylvia actually dies is only an 8.5. So people didn't give a shit about Sylvia dying, apparently.
Nah, she's not Bobby. Like, people and she's not invested.
And she's not Andy Jr.
People are invested in Bobby as a full character. I don't think they're invested in Sylvia singularly. I think they're invested in her with Andy.
There was also kind of there was such a huge drum roll to what happened to Bobby. And with Andy Jr., like, it started with his death, and then it became the mystery of who did this to him. So then you're just kind of chugging along with what happened. This one, it was like, you have no idea what's going on or what's happening, and then it just turns out that Sylvia died, and the next episode is dealing with that. It's not like those ones where a big event has occurred and then you deal with the event. But yeah, I don't know.
No, I agree. I don't know if she, like, upset them or something, but her death, I mean, she gets shot, it is sad, and then, like, the way she dies, but like they kind of get over her very quickly.
It also seems like, yeah,
Andy's mourning and shit, but like her overall, it's like they try to move on very fast.
Cause you're right. No one ever in this episode Safe Home talks about like what it means to them that Sylvia's gone.
Yeah.
It's all just worrying about Andy.
Yeah, it's all like what her presence being gone, what does that mean for Andy? And how does that make us feel for Andy?
And sure, like there's a lot of focus because, oh, well, Theo's in the picture. Like, we got to worry about Theo. But some of those detectives had moments with Sylvia. Like, some of those detectives would have, like, they all worked with Sylvia at one point.
Yeah.
And everybody had a decent interaction with her for the most part. So the fact that the next episode, it's like, God, I hope Andy's okay. I hope Andy's okay. And no one's dealing with their own, like, grief about Sylvia is kind of weird. But
she was, like, the main fucking... She was, the, like, one of two main attorneys for, like, that department.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that, like, people aren't more upset is weird, you know? Like,
yeah.
She was, like, yeah, she was an attorney and not a cop, but she was a fucking coworker, dude. Like, I don't know. It's just interesting to me.
Yeah, they didn't, they didn't really, you know, yeah, they just didn't, they didn't sit with it like they had sit, they had sat with it with other people. So, yeah, it is what it is.
They don't sit with it, like, they barely sit with it.
All right, anything else about this episode before we call it a day on season six?
No, I asked it earlier, but, like, has anyone, any type of, like, character ever had anything... like the year Sipowicz had?
I don't think so. Anyway, that's NYPD Blue Balls for season six. All right, we got nothing else.
That's the end of season six. Now we get a full year of Schrodes.
Full Schroeder year coming at you. Coming at you with
Schrodes,
with yeah. A year of the Schrode. Thank you for listening to this episode of NYPD Blue Balls. If you did, if you made it to the end, I appreciate it, and I apologize for all the cutting I had to do to get rid of all the nonsense that was going on in the background. I am sorry, but thank you for sticking with us. Please rate and review the show, even if you're going to give it a bad review. I don't even care. Don't even care. But if you rate it highly, more people could see it in their algorithm, and most importantly, people might check out the best show ever, NYPD Blue. That's good enough reason to rate and review. Anyway, if you need to know when new episodes are coming out, you can follow us on Twitter at Asher Bros Pod, on Instagram at Asher Brothers Podcast. Right now, NYPD Blue is currently streaming on Hulu, and I believe it is back up on Amazon for purchase if you want it there. There's a couple of books out there, True Blue, written about the first couple seasons, What Would Sipowicz Do, a collection of articles about the show, and Gene Kendall's An Unofficial Guide to NYPD Blue on Amazon for 99 cents. There's tons of Blue out there for you, so enjoy it. Until then, see you in season 7. Peace.